Blessed be the rock, hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Yes, I will magnify my Lord, for he's so worthy to be praised. Yes, who will magnify my Lord? My God is worthy to be praised. Yes, the Lord liveth. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord liveth. Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. I know the Lord liveth. Oh, hallelujah, blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord liveth. Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Yes, I will magnify my Lord, for he's so worthy to be praised. Yes, who will magnify my Lord? My God is worthy to. I know the Lord liveth. Blessed be the rock, hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord liveth. Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Happy to be here on a Sunday morning. Just sitting in my seat, and I thought, man, you know, so often we, the scripture says, serve God in your youth. You know, that's what we've been taught, and the reason is because then you got strength. You've got the ability to really give God what he needs. God, even over there, our theophany, I mean, our glorified bodies are not going to be 80 year old.
Right.
He said they're going to be young so you can move and do things. And I thought, you know, I'm sitting there and I get to church and that's when I have the most energy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because what a month ago, I couldn't even stand up. And I've just been progressing every week,
Amen.
Getting a little bit better every week.
Yes.
My voice is getting stronger every week. But when I come in here, I got the most energy I'm going to have.
Yeah.
I got the most voice that I'm going to have.
Amen.
Why would I want to wait till the end when I'm already hoarse?
Right.
Why would I want to wait till the end when I'm already tired? Let me serve him in my youth. Let me give him what I can. That's why the worship should come before the preaching. When you got all you can give, go ahead and build it up. Even Brother Branham said that's how you should do it. Build up that faith, and then God can move. See, he didn't pray first. He said, let's build it up first. Let's do something so God can move a little bit. Get off your staunchiness. Get off all your high horse. Throw away the cares of this morning. I'm not even worried about yesterday. Yesterday took care of itself. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Let me throw away the cares of this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and just be glad in it. You know, I'm seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. Just in your life, your life, your life, your life. I see miracles every day. You know, there's that movie that's The Sixth Sense, and that guy, and on the other end of it, he says, I see dead people and they don't even know they're dead. That was The Sixth Sense. I see miracles all the time, and sometimes people don't even recognize the miracles. You made it to the house of God and you can hear him. That's a miracle. Don't try to downplay that. You made it into the house of God one more time. I don't care if my attendance record's 40 services in a row or just one service. If I made it one more time, that's all it took. I've got everything I need for the journey. You know, so sometimes people go, oh, I got to come this time. I got to make it this time. I got to be there this many days. No, if you come in here one time and you hear the word of God one time, that's a miracle. There's churches that are people are getting together, hundreds and thousands of people are getting together, and they don't even know where God is at. And you come here expecting to hear from God. It'd be a disservice if somebody got up here and I didn't hear from God. I'd say, well, I better go ahead and close it out then, because if you don't bring God, I got him with me. I don't even come here doubting that he's with me. I know if somebody came in here off the street and didn't preach the word of God, I'm still going to hear from God before I leave. I came into the house expecting to hear from him. He said, where two or three are gathered. Oh, it's more than that in here. God bless you.
Amen.
Beautiful. Want to lead the song, lead the service off with prayer. You know, Brother Branham always said the spirit's high. Now it's time to pray.
Yes.
It don't take us very long anymore.
No.
We come here expecting. We come here believing
Amen.
God.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that. That's what it should be. The Bible says be instant. In season, out of season. Be ready to preach, pray, or die. The drop of a hat.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this.
Amen.
I'm enjoying this. Prayer requests. Who has a need? There are many needs among us, spoken, unspoken. Make it known if you want to. Just raise your hand if you want to. God knows.
Brother Justin, remember my sister-in-law? She's
yes.
getting ready to have open heart surgery.
Amen.
On the 22nd, I went on and took the prayer call that you guys gave, and that we anointed. Let's just believe God.
Yes.
Don't have any.
That's all it requires.
I'm looking for everything that he promised.
Amen.
Somebody got
yes,
to
we
said,
are.
Matthew chapter 7. He said, ask and you would receive.
Right.
And then he went on and says, he that asketh, receive
it. Right.
That's something that he said. So let's just believe God.
Amen. 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 You know, the Son of Man was here the first time.
Yeah. Amen.
He never backed down from a challenge. No matter what it was.
Yeah.
Healing the sick. Forgiving right. sin. Taking control of the situation. That's that same Son of Man here today.
Same one.
It's not two Son of Mans.
No.
One Son of Man. Come twice.
Amen.
And here in this many-membered body,
yes,
how much
Amen.
Greater, Amen. How much more powerful. Oh, Lord. To see God move today, shouldn't even be a miracle in a sense.
No.
We should expect it so much.
Yeah.
Let's bring him before the Lord in prayer.
Yes,
now, we,
yes.
now, we won't. You know, don't just sit there and listen to me pray.
No!
Jesus didn't sit there and listen to anybody else pray. He prayed. Your personal relationship with God, you know how you believe him. You know how you trust him with all the eyes within you. And just humbly as we come before, Lord, we're just looking for you to move. But Lord, we want to believe it with all that lies within our heart. That's all that's required. All that's required. Bow our head, let's pray. Lord God, we come before you, Father. We just trust in you. We just believe in you. Lord, it's all you said to do. Lord, Brother Branham sung that song, Only Believe, over and over and over. Father, we just come before you, trust in you, believe in you, Lord, trust in you with all that lies within our heart. And as humble as we know how, Lord God, not of anything that we have to bring, Lord God, it's only your righteousness, Lord. You said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Lord, it's your righteousness that we bring, Lord. It's you that we come before. And we just bring every need before you, Father. We got Brother Trevor. Lord, we got Anna. We got many needs around the body, Lord. And these things come before us, Lord, just to challenge our faith. And Lord, we accept that challenge, Lord God. And Lord, sometimes you just put it to the test, like you did Job. And Lord, we want to pass that test. We want to be faithful, Lord God, to believe you. Lord, you said many exceeding and great promises, Lord, you've given us, Father, just for our benefit. And Lord, we're just asking you, Father, in thy precious name, Lord, with all that lies within us, Lord, just, Lord, believing that this is just a minor resurrection, but Lord, building us up, build our faith, Lord God, where we can, Lord, get the dead up, Father. That's what we're looking for. But Lord, we have needs now. And Lord, you said you're the ever-present help in time of need. And Lord, we bring all these needs before you, spoken, unspoken, Lord. Lord, this one going to open heart surgery, Father, we bring her before you. Trust and believe and not looking what the doctors say or what they expect, but Lord, we come expecting before you to move, to meet the need, Lord God, to heal, to deliver, Father, Lord. We don't have anything else but our faith in you. And Lord, just watch over and guide us, Lord, this body, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Let us raise up and be stronger, Lord God, every hour that we live here. Lord, just, Lord, let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. Don't let us, Lord, back off for anything. Don't let us, Lord God, listen to the lies of the Satan anymore. But Lord, wholly trust in your word. Wholly believe in what you've promised. Lord, we have nothing else but you, Lord God. Lord, when the disciples were looking for other things, they saw only you, Lord God. And when Satan makes it so complicated, Lord, we just know you and you crucified him. Lord, we just know you and you by your stripes, Lord, we were healed. And Lord, we don't look for anything else. Lord, let us believe, let us trust. And Lord, we thank you in advance. Lord, we're looking for the outcome, Lord. Not looking and say, well, Lord, your will be done. You said ask what you will, what we will. And Lord, we bring it before you, Father. Hold you, Lord, to your promise. Lord, we know that's what you want more than anything. Because this will build itself. This will make a strong body. This will help us, Lord God, to overcome Satan in every way. Lord, we trust you, believe you, Lord. We ask that you have your way in the service, Lord God. Build us up, strengthen us, Lord. Stir us, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord God, you being among us. So thankful that, Lord, your word is so true. Lord, so thankful that you give us the ear to hear. Lord, so thankful that you give us our right mind, that we can look to your promise. Lord, just watch over and guide us, Lord. Take the rest of the service, Lord. Don't let anything hinder, Lord, but we come before you believing. Lord, higher highs, Lord God. Stronger faith, stronger grace, Lord God, to bring before us. Lord, we trust you, we believe you. All we can do, Lord, the rest is up to you, Lord. We believe that you'll deliver. We believe that you'll build up your body. We believe that, Lord, we will see you move among us, Lord God. In the precious and mighty and holy and name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we trust you, we believe you with all that lies within us, Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. God bless you all. You all may be seated.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh.
Praise him. Praise him in advance.
Good morning. I could not sit here when I saw my brother. When he has been through what he has been through, I am just so grateful and so thankful. You know, I do believe the word, every word. I continue to ask the Lord to build my faith. I do have shortcomings, but you know what? He has guided me.
Yeah.
Him and I are one.
Yes.
And as it has been said, if you believe the word, you understand the word, and you are guided by the word, your promises will be provided to you. It is written in the Bible.
Yes.
From all the messages that I have received here, I am just so grateful for the guidance. And I just want to, I see a miracle here.
Yes.
I see this.
Yes.
You know,
amen,
a couple of months ago.
Right.
He was so sick, and I didn't even know it, you know?
Right.
God comes. God does answer our promises.
Right.
You know, I'm just so grateful.
Amen.
I'm so grateful for my husband, too. And I'm grateful, you know, to be able to do things for friends, for family, for my mom and everything.
Right.
I am just so grateful. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And not give God praise for being able to be here this day, you know. When you're hundreds of miles away and you're having to travel, you think, Lord, you watch over me. And I know he always does, you know. And I just loved hearing the services. I get jealous when I can't be here and be involved in the services. You know, I know you guys feel the same way. We are so blessed. Brother Jay, I can't express how thankful I am. I know we all are that you are here with us and that you are so strong. What you did today was just amazing, you know. Being able to get up and lead church service again, that's with a song service.
Amen.
That's where you need to be, and that's where you're going to be, you know, because that's God's will, I feel, for you. And I just want to, you know, I missed last Sunday and didn't get to hear the service, but I did get hear parts of it. What I enjoyed from the time before was the third pull. That meant a lot to me because it increases their faith, you know. It increased my faith, you know, being able to be here and just hear God's word. Each time you come, we just grow and grow, and I just thank God for our ministry and our brothers and our sisters, and I don't know what all I got up here to say, but I hope I said some of it. I just thank God for being here.
Amen.
I even kept my vacation today short so I could be here today. I think you guys can agree with that, can't you?
God bless you, sis. Who does that? Go ahead, Brother John.
How can I not be blessed to be allowed to be
come
here
on
today? How can I not be joyful that God allowed me to be here? You know, God, the Bible tells us that we each get a measure of faith.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't pray for more faith. I pray to manifest that faith.
Come on.
God has given me faith. I just want to manifest it.
Amen.
You know, you say, be yielded to God. I can't help but be yielded to God.
Yeah.
But I want to be more yielded to God. I want my flesh out of the way. I want it out of the way. God has provided everything. There's nothing I need. He's provided it all. I just have to get out of the way. That's the part I got to do.
That's
the part I got to work on. Getting out of the way and surrendering to Him. It's there to be had. It's there.
Yeah.
I just have to give to it. And that's what I want to do. I want to give 100% to it. And you know, you are so right. When you get older, your arms hurt, your legs hurt, all that. And when you're young, you can just run. But you know what? I'm not going to let any of that hold me back. I'm still going to do all I can do. I'm going to just press. Press harder than I pressed before.
Yeah.
And just praise God.
Amen.
It's real. I tell you that this revelation, this truth, I just look at it, look over my life, look what He's done, look where I'm at, knowing who I am, knowing what He has for me to do. And it's a beautiful thing knowing I only have one thing to do. I don't get lost in a bunch of stuff. I don't get lost in this world. I don't get lost. My job is to get the dead up. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen, and I know when it's time, just like everything else. God is going to show it to me, and He's going to have it happen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother John.
Can I sing something?
Yes.
Come on, Mike. You're up first. I see you coming.
Amen.
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 Talk about being at your peak when you're in here. I have scripture that I wanted to share. Philippians 2:7, it says, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." You know, I was helping James yesterday in his house, moving all the stuff out of his garage into his shed. And, you know, it had me thinking of this scripture, and it brought me back to what we always say. It's, but this scripture right here, it echoed through my body whenever I was just, you know, moving stuff from his garage. And, you know, I love that I have a full understanding of this word.
Yes.
I love that I can come here and just pour out what I've been filling up.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm so ready to hear what is going to be preached tonight.
Yes.
Micah, you actually practice a song. If you want to come up and help me, you're welcome to. That'd be good. But I'm glad to be here this morning.
Praise
Amen.
Him.
Good to see everybody. You know, I'm a little older than I used to be now.
Yeah.
And I say that for a reason, because I have learned the more you come and hear this word, the more your faith does grow.
Yes.
And the more you live and go through things, the more your trust in God grows.
Yes.
Because I really do trust in God.
Amen.
He does have the whole world in His hands.
Yes, he does.
You know, that's a song, but I really believe that.
Oh,
He's the master of every circumstance.
Yes.
He doesn't put any more on us than we can bear.
Yes. Yes.
He really does hold tomorrow. He said, take no thought what tomorrow will bring. He said, I got that covered. He said, you see these little flowers out there, these little sparrows out there? He said, I take care of them. How much more?
Yeah.
One of us.
Right.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Oh, my goodness.
To know that God has got me in his hands. He really has ordered my steps.
Yes.
He really does make sure all things work together for the good. He really did pay it all.
Amen.
And I'm going to sing a song this morning, and Sister Renee sung it once, but I love these words.
Amen.
The revelated words, because it says Calvary is more than enough.
Yes.
And it says God's ordered my steps. And I want to sing it because God's been good to us. So, Mike, you might as well bring it over here so you can see the words. It's key A.
Amen. Praise him, saints.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior. Trusting God.
trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Yes, I trust in God.
Bless you. Let me get the announcements out of the way here. September 9th. Thank you all for whoever showed up to Sway and Sister Sway and Kevin's wedding. That was beautiful.
Amen.
And on the September 9th, we've got the Fox Hollow Rodeo. And September, is there the admission for that?
It's on the back. Huh? I think it's $15.
Okay.
$15 for adults.
Okay. And that's all
$5
back
there? $5 for a 6 to 12 year old.
Okay. And then September 10th, we have the church pictures. And on September 29th, the bonfire at Caleb and Andrea's. Oh, and also the t-shirts for Sister Renee. This Wednesday's the last you can sign up.
I've been here almost 7 years, and you would think that's enough for you about ready to get your PhD and you'd be learning things. In the last 3 months or so, God has basically sent me back to first grade. I've got kindergarten down, so, you know, 7 years or something. And one of the things he was talking, just let me know today, you know, make your path narrow, God, make your path straight, all that. I used to put legalism on that.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Not what that is.
No.
That means don't put your energy on these little sidetrack shows.
No. Right.
If you're going this way to come back this way to go that way, you're not getting where you're going anywhere you need to be.
Right.
And it's, we put so much religiosity on things when God just wants us to do what he told him to do.
That's right.
If you do what you're supposed to be doing, the stuff you're not supposed to be doing, it's not a factor because you're busy doing what you're supposed to be doing.
There you go.
And if you do double dip and have two milkshakes instead of one, you know, you just get back in and you go for it.
Amen.
Right, right.
Amen. God bless you. Brother Moore?
I got a song here that Melanie's been wanting to sing. Come on, Mel. Mm-hmm. Michael and Jasmine.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes.
Please.
Sing.
Michael and Jasmine didn't know we were going to do this today. We didn't either. Come on up. Y'all know it. This is an
Amen. It's
an easy song.
All right. Family.
Here you go,
Let's
Mel.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes, it is.
It's good to have a promise.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
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 We come this far by faith.
Amen.
Leaning on. Trouble comes in your life. He'll bear your burden and you the misery and strife. We come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. just remember the good thing that he has done. Oh, praise him for victory. Praise him for the victories he's won. We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, 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 can't turn around. We've come this far by faith.
Just the other day, I heard a man say he didn't believe in God's word. But I can truly say that the Lord has made a way, because he's never failed me yet. Oh, we've come this far by faith.
I'll go ahead and testify, if that's all right, brother. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But you know, that's just, just submitting myself and with the family. It's such a blessing to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just trying to yield a little more and a little more every day.
Yes.
Because I believe his promises. And he didn't bring me this far to turn back now. So, amen.
God bless
you. Amen. Amen. You know, you're singing that song, and it made me think, every time you get up and testify, you're stepping out on faith, you know. God's got to put the words in my mouth, you know, because if I come here with a predetermined testimony, it's not going to bless the body, you know. And I just thank God so much for everything we get here. You know, you said read your Bibles more. And I've been trying, but, you know, I'm starting because I didn't read it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. And I don't know where all the things are. You know, Jeremiah helps and stuff. And I was trying to read it with Riley on the way to school. And I just randomly picked a scripture. And she was like, Mom, how does this help me? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just trying. And literally 30 seconds later, my mom and dad text her with this great scripture that worked, you know. And I just thought, thank you, God, for putting it there.
Amen.
You know, just trying, just making that first step. God always blesses, you know, and I thank God so much because there are promises in the Bible that maybe, I don't know the exact scripture, but I do know it, you know, seek ye first. I know that, you know, he never puts more on than you can bear, you know, and I didn't get that, you know, by reading the scriptures. I got that from the word in flesh, you know, and I thank God so much for everything he does, peace. I don't even know. I'm just so excited. I can't even get it out, you know. I just think every time I come here, I want to run the aisles and just get excited because this is my life.
Amen.
You know, and I just always want to be available. You know, I've been humming that song, Lord, I'm available to you, you know. Whatever it is, if it's coming and cleaning the church in the middle of the night, I will do whatever, you know. And I thought Seth even said, when you lose your job, that's still God, you know?
Yeah.
Even in the dark, hard times, I think about my life, you know.
That's right.
You know, I always talk about all the positive because that's all I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But I was telling my daughter, I was like, it's not always been, you know, butterflies and rainbows.
No.
But even during those dark times, God always puts somebody or something there to get me through. And I thank God so much. And, you know, I'm really excited about what, you know, I'm going to get tonight, because I know I'm going to take another step, and it's going to be another step. And eventually it's going to be the final step, and I'm going to get out of here.
Amen.
You know, I love that we don't major on minors in here, because the word is the major. The word is what we all come here for.
The word is
what we all have in common. Because, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, you know, but this word will never pass away. This word really is truly the only thing we have in common, because everything else is designed to take us out individually. And, you know, I was thinking about this service, and I was sitting there, and, you know, you want to get the timing right on things, but you can't, because it's God.
Amen.
You got to just surrender.
Then
Jay gets up and sings, and I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Because it's just God. It's just God controlling everything. He's the one. When I don't know, he knows. When the body doesn't know, he knows. We need to hear from you, Lord. Because if we don't, what are we going to do? What can we do? Oh, my God. I love this place.
You know, David, he didn't attack Goliath first off. He had to build up for it.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, I've been in this thing for a long time. But, you know, I feel like I'm just beginning to break in. Just looking through the cracks, seeing what's inside there. Lord, let me run with all that lies within me. You know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, talking, you know, day with God is 1,000 years. Man, you know, if I only got about a half hour left, and let me run. Let me give it all. You know, and as much as you hold your hand out before the Lord, there's something else, you know, wanting to close a finger up or something. There always is. There always a sin. It's something that easily besets, you know. But, you know, just keep holding it out. Keep holding it out. Keep holding it out. Every time you come before him. And that's what I want to do. You know, I sit there and think, well, I want to retire. But, Lord, what if you don't want me to retire? I want to work the last day. I drop dead, you know. I said, Lord, whatever you want. You know, it's much in me that said, no, I want to retire. I want to relax. I want to take it easy. And, but, Lord, whatever you want. I keep over and over. Lord, whatever you want. You take me. I was on the lawnmower there mowing today, and the Lord dealing with me. He says, you need to do this. You need to do that. First thing, get up. You need to sing this song and everything. And of course, by this morning, I had myself talked out of it. You know, that's just me. It never happens to anybody else. But that's just me. But then Brother Moore says, I want you to open up prayer.
Amen.
You know, I said, all right, Lord.
Yes.
Open. Yes. You know. And I'm thankful for that's the way it is, you know, because he'll build it. And when he builds it, it's right.
Yeah.
You know, when David faced Goliath, he was ready.
Yes.
He was ready.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't nothing to hold him back. Yeah. No armor, no nothing. Not what anybody else said. Amen. He's going to slay that uncircumcised Philistine. Amen. And, you know, we've got to be built up in that. And, you know, whatever little bit the Lord gives you, however the Lord challenges your faith, step out on that.
Step
meet
out.
That challenge.
That's right.
Because he's right there.
Yes.
He's just wanting you to trust him to take care of it. It's not you anyway.
Right.
And I'm so thankful it works that way, and it's still working that way.
Amen.
And I just want to surrender more and more and more.
Amen.
I want to sing a little song real quick. You can't make me doubt him. You know, the more I sing that, the more I think that, the more you can't make me doubt him.
Oh, my
God. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart.
Oh, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart.
Jesus, I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. You can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. No, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him.
doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. Sing it again. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart.
Love of Jesus, I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Praise
you, Lord.
Praise him. He's done it all. He has done it all. He's got our brother out of the hospital. He's moved on every person under the sound of my voice. He's given us a full loaded revelation of the hour. He is worthy.
He's done it. Just praise him a little.
Majesty.
It's all right. Woo. Oh my God. Amen.
Ooh, I'm going to sing one song and we'll get him up. Majesty, out of the chorus book, song 189. Let's worship his majesty.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Oh my God, it's good to be here. Good to be here this morning.
So thankful.
King of all.
authority flows from his throne unto his own, his anthem rang. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty jukes up his majesty. Jesus who died and glorified, King of all kings. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're so thankful to be gathered together in the house one more time. Thank you for your word, Lord, and what it's doing to our lives, how it's changing us, how it's molding us and making us into the people that you want us to be in the hour that we're living in. Lord, I couldn't decide or pick what I wanted to be, but Lord, you knew, and you allotted a piece of word just for me, that I would manifest this Bible in the hour that we're living in, when the world has fallen apart, fires, floods, tornadoes, storms, everything's shaking but the word of God. And Lord, you've made us part of that word. So Lord, we're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not shaken by this world. We're not shaken by this world order. We're not shaken by the troubles and trials that come our way. For we know that, Lord, you said wherever there's a problem, where there's a trouble, where there's something going on, that, Lord, you always make a way out for us. And Lord, we got back to your house one more time because you've made a way. And we want to thank you for that this morning, Lord. All those requests that were spoken and unspoken this morning, ask you to send forth your word, Lord. We know your word can do the job. You've already said you can, and you already said you've already paid the price for it to be done. So, Lord, we just ask you to go forth and do it. Touch Trevor, Lord. Touch the Earlys down in Florida. Touch, Lord, Brother June in the Philippines. Brother Tony as he gets ready for Africa, the travels and the different ones around the world. Brother George in Africa who always asks for prayer. Lord, remember the saints around the world. For, Lord, as we come here this morning, we got the word opened up before this congregation. They're waiting to hear from you, Lord. They don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. And Father, we ask you to move every hindering spirit out of the way that we might be able to enjoy your word as it comes forth this morning. If there's sickness, bind it. If there's disagreements, bind it. If there's unbelief, bind it. If there's doubt, bind it. And Lord, we ask you to let your word flow from this place. Let it do what it's ordained to do in our lives. Lord, those that are sick around the world that need a touch, Lord, move in their behalf so that they can raise up and testify that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that your healing power still remains. Thank you for those that have come today. Ask you to speak something that they could take home with them, that, Lord, when we walk out of these doors today, we'll be stronger than we ever were. We're a strong group now, but, Lord, we're not strong enough. And, Lord, as we hear the word will make us stronger. Thank you, Lord. Lay it everything and let us lay everything aside and let your word just rule and abide in our lives as we start to listen to you and follow your word and obey you as you ask us to do the small little things that you've asked us to do. You didn't ask us to go to Calvary. You didn't ask us to pay the price. You didn't ask us to give our lives. You just asked us to pick up our cross. Whatever that is in our lives, Lord, those problems, those troubles and things that weigh us down, you said pick it up and follow you. Lord, that's what we're doing this morning. Have your way with this service, Lord. I know you're here. I see you. I hear you. I see you moving through the body and ask you to move through this word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm telling you, I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know. I see the young, I see the old, I see the brothers, I see the sisters. I see people letting go and forgetting about what everybody else thinks. And that's what it's about. That is what it's about. You're in here to worship God for yourself. This is an individual thing, and it's between you and Jesus Christ himself. And I don't care what anybody else says. If he says walk, walk. If he says testify, testify. If he says sing, sing. Whatever he says to do, you just do it. Amen. Obeying the Lord is worth it all. Amen. It's good to be here. And pray for Brother June Pardillo. They're having meetings in December, and they wanted me to come back. But I don't think I'm going to. I told him I don't feel led to come back this time. He wanted me to go. There's 40-something preachers that he wanted me to go preach to. They asked me to come down to this island and preach. And he wants to hold his first meeting in his new shelter that he's built out on his property. They got it up now. The roof is on it. The walls are up. They've got the trusses and everything all on there. And now they're just working on the inside, getting ready for December. They've got about 15 outhouse restrooms. And his plan is to be able to have ministers come and bring their tents and just camp out and have meetings. Because over there in the Philippines, you know, you don't have to worry about the weather unless it's storm coming. They can just pitch a tent and they can do their thing. And he wanted me to come. He told me, he said, you come in December. They've got a house on the property that's got, has 4 rooms, 4 bedrooms, 4 something. He said, we'll put you in there and you got air conditioned. And he's wanting to spoil me. He's trying to trick me. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to trick me. It's like, you come, we have air conditioned for you. And I'm like, yeah, I'll pray about it. And so I think this time I'm not going to go. I'm going to just, we'll, as a body, sending money over to help them to finish up whatever he needs to do to get ready for his meetings. And so God bless him. And Brother Tony Ojubiso. Is that right, Jay? Jurabesa? Bisa. I said Bisa. Okay. Brother Tony. He's in Florida, but he's about ready to head back home, so pray for him. And Victor's out preaching. Him and his wife got on a boat and traveling, trying to go preach. So, you know, people are doing some things, and they ask for prayer, and, you know, we always try to help them when we can. And I've never been one to just give somebody a good living off of the church. I don't do it myself, and I don't do it for others, and take them, bring their cost of living way up where they can't really, you know, do what they need to do. It causes people to compromise. You know, you give them too much money, because over there, I forget what the dollar amount is. Now, it's way up there. For $1, you get, I don't know, it's 47. I forget what the number is now. So you give them $100, and you give them a lot of money. And so I don't like to put somebody in a position where they're going to have to make a choice between eating or compromising for the Word of God or doing something like that. So I don't never like to give them too much, but I believe in helping. You know, if you're not going to go, send somebody else or make a way for somebody. So I do believe, and we do support. So if y'all get texts or emails or whatever you get from brothers out there, if you know who they are or whatever, just let me know, because I send money. We send money as a church. So I tell them not to try to get money from you as individuals, because you're trying to make it too. The cost of living over here is much higher than it is over there. So, but we are supporting, and we believe in supporting the mission field, and just keep them in your prayers, because they've got some trips and meetings coming up. And Brother Tony is always, he's trying to get me to go with him to Ghana and Nigeria or somewhere over there. He's wanting to do something next year, so you just pray about that too, because you got to give out, you got to go. You know, it's easier to stay home. It really is. It's much easier to stay home, but you know what? We got things to do. We got a message to get out, and a lot of people don't get what you get to receive every week. So, you know, you just keep these things in your mind and prayers. And I appreciate Brother Don getting up and doing that. I felt this morning, I said, well, I just want us to open in prayer today. He said, I don't know. I just felt that.
I didn't know who until this morning. I was just, the last couple of days I've been feeling that. And then somebody said, text Don and have him do it. And I thought, okay. I didn't know he was going through all that, what he was, I didn't know what he was battling. I got a name this morning, so I said, all right. I texted him, and apparently he needed it. So it's good. God knows what he's doing with us. That's why I say I don't have to follow you home. The word follows you home. And you and God's got something going on. And if he's dealing with you on something and you're fighting him, I don't need to know about it. He knows about it, and he'll take care of it, and he'll bring you in here. And sometimes he comes right across the pulpit and tell you what you're thinking or where you've been. See, people don't realize the miracles still happen. You got to understand the word of God is the discerner. It wasn't Brother Branham. The word is a discerner. And when you have the word in you, the discernment's there. And you pick things up when you don't want to. And God knows what he's doing. And that's why when you come to the house of God and we start preaching on something that you've been talking about at home, I'm not following you home. The word is, and the word is in you, and then that word comes and it starts dealing with you, and that's how God deals with you. So, you know, don't take it lightly that you got something talking to you at home. Because that's the same God that talks to you from here. It ain't no different God. It's the same one. If you turn him down at home, you'll turn him down here. Because you're going to do what you want to do, and God has the ways to make you submit. He has a way to get to you if he needs to. Somebody told me I broke their leg. I forget who that was. Somebody weeks ago said, I broke their leg. Oh, it was Joy. She said, I broke her leg. That word broke it. And, you know, that's what happens sometimes when a sheep get out of the pasture. You know, sometimes you get a sheep that just got to get out of the pasture. And then sometimes the only way, because, you know, you got to watch all the other sheep, so you can't be wasting your time chasing them down. Right. It's easy to break a leg. And then he'll stay with the flock. And so that's what sometimes God has to do to us. We get out there, huh, Joy, on our own, do our own thing. And God has to break you. And then when he breaks you, you're going to stay where you're supposed to be. That's the way it works. That's the way it always worked with me. You know, sometimes God has to get you to the end of yourself because you'll have your ideals. You'll be trying to do your little sneaky sneak. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that. But some people try to do the little sneaky sneak. I'll just look at the lights and say that. But God's got a way. He's got a way to get your attention. You think you're going to go one way and God will break your leg. And then you won't be so, you know, whenever I run into that, you can get to a place where God spanks you and you don't want to do that no more. Once he spanks you, you're spanked. I mean, you know, it sometimes mom and daddy, they'll act like they're spanking you. And they'll pat you a little bit because, you know how parents are. But when God spanks you, you never go that way again. You never go that way again because you don't like it. It's not fun. And God doesn't feel like parents do. They'll feel for you. God's like, my word's the word. And if he has to break you down to get you to where he needs you to be, then he will do that. And he won't even feel bad about it because God don't feel like we do. That's his true love. That's agape love. So it's good to have you all in the house looking all good and everything right where you're supposed to be. So I want to go over here for a little bit this morning to Matthew chapter 16. I appreciate all the efforts that went forth with the wedding for Friday. And I appreciate the brothers getting a place back together. John and I tore it down. But we can tear something up, but we can't put it back. So the brothers came in right after the wedding. They got it all back up and running. And God bless them. Thank you for the help. And for all the efforts for Kevin and Sway, they're off on their honeymoon. You know, and so God bless their honeymoon. Give them a good trip. You know, we're going on a honeymoon someday. And we've already had the wedding, so it won't be long. It won't be long. Most people don't wait too long between a marriage and a honeymoon. If that's the way we feel in the natural, how much more God in the spiritual? So if you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start with verse 13, very familiar verse here that we know so well. Starting with verse
13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Verse 15. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now, I took that scripture, and the thought that I'd like to title this message this morning is Receiving a Revelation from God. And I wanted to start here with Peter, because this is a well-known scripture where somebody receives something from God. And when we come to the house of God, a lot of times we don't know what we're looking for. We come looking for something that's going to make us feel good, something that's going to tie us into like a family, something's going to be like a club. Some churches are like lodges and clubs, and something that's going to be socially accepted. And we come for many different reasons to get something from the house of God. Now, the believers, when they come to the house of God, we're coming to the house of God because we want something from God. I mean, a lot of people want things from people. You know, they come to church because they want to be on the usher board, or they want to be the head superintendent of Sunday school, or, you know, they got titles for everything. Everybody in the church, I've been to churches, small church, we used to go to a small church, and they almost had a title for everybody in the church. When it was Elder Pringle's church, there was only about 20 of us, and we had pastor, the first lady, the head usher. We had an usher, a missionary, you know, the sister Fraser was a missionary. She was an usher, head usher. And everybody had a title and doing something. So people want to get something from people. But the bride is not looking for something from people. She's looking for something from God. And we come to this house because we're wanting to know what it is in here that we can get from God. And here we're talking about receiving a revelation. A revelation from God is the most important thing you could get in this church, period. You might sing, you might testify, you might do a lot of things, but the revelation, and here Peter was, Jesus asking, who do people say that he is? Nobody knew who Jesus was. Nobody understood him. Everybody had their ideas, and everybody had their thinking of who Jesus was. But Jesus wanted to know if you really understood who it was that was standing before you. And that was a revelation that Peter received on who Jesus was. And it was such a great revelation that Jesus marveled at it and said, "You didn't get that from somebody." No. See, the thing about a revelation that you got to understand is that doesn't come from me. That doesn't come from you. That doesn't come from man. A revelation comes from God himself. And that's the thing that Peter got that nobody else understood. Jesus knew what it was, though. He said, "Where'd you get that, Peter?" He said, "Flesh and blood didn't give that to you." Matter of fact, Jesus himself didn't give it to him. I thought about that this morning. I said, you know what? Jesus was flesh and blood. And so he said, "Flesh and blood didn't give that to you. I didn't even give that to you." God is dealing with you by himself. You got this from God. If you get a revelation, it's going to be between you and God. That's it. That's it. It's between you and God. That's why nobody can stop you from praising God. That's why nobody can tell you anything that God, if God ever shows you one revelation, then that's between you and him. And that means he's got a personal relationship with you. We've got so sophisticated in this day and hour that we're living in that people have forgotten the simplicity of God coming and having a personal relationship with you. But you cannot go unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. It's not between you and your husband. It's not between you and your wife. It's not kids and adults. It's you having a one-on-one with Jesus Christ himself. He talks with you. He walks with you. He tells them, he breaks the word down to you, and nobody can tell you anything else. Amen. When you get a revelation from God, you don't have to even worry where it come from. Amen. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to try to figure it out. See, the reason I'm never in trouble with the word of God is because I always speak by the revelation that God has given me. Right. And that's the way you should testify. Amen. You testify from where you're at. Right. I know Micah got up here today and he testified from where he's at. Amen. He didn't get up here and try to tell you about the revelation of God. He got up there and tell you what God's dealing with him on. Amen. And that's all it takes is you and God having a relationship. And then if you get up and say what God's told you, then nobody can say anything about it. Because if God talks to you, he's going to talk to you according to the word. Amen. He's going to reveal whatever he reveals to you according to the word. Amen. And every revelation you get will tie in with the word. Because that's all God has is revelation. Amen. That's all I have. You say, well, I don't know a lot. You don't have to know a lot. Amen. All Peter knew was that Jesus was the Christ. Right. But that's all he needed to know. It's all God required. See, the thing is, God can only require of you what he gives you. Amen. If God doesn't give you a lot, maybe you're not supposed to be a preacher. Maybe that's not your part to play. Right. But if all he does is give you enough that you can do a little bit of something, like Elise said, if he tells me to come and clean the church in the middle of the night, right, if that's what God gives you, right, praise God and do it. Amen. The thing about God is when he talks to you, you know. You know it's him. Somebody asked, one of the young kids asked at the Bible study a few weeks ago, how do you know it's God? You know it's God because it ties into the word. Because God is not going to give you anything outside of his word. Man will give you their tradition. Man will give you their ideas. Man will tell you a lot of things. He'll give you a lot of Ten Commandments and things you can do and can't do. But if God ever talks to you, he's going to talk to you strictly from his word. And nobody else can interpret it like he can. Amen. He is the only interpreter of the word. You say, well, I know a man who went through a theology school and he's a very smart, educated man, but he is not the interpreter of the word. He's using his education to try to tell you what God wants. And he doesn't know what God wants unless God reveals it to him. Jesus looked at Peter and said, my goodness, you didn't get that from man. And when you get up and testify, and you're testifying something that ties in with the word of God, and it's right in the book, you're going to turn the bride on. Because that's all we want to hear. I don't want to hear your tradition. I don't want to hear your ideals. I want you to get up here and tell me how bad your day's been. That ain't the word of God. I don't want to hear how down and out you are. That ain't the word of God. Every time I read the word of God, I get lifted up. Every time I hear the word of God, it tells me I have hope. Tells me I got a way out. Right. Tells me there's something for me to do. Yeah. That's what God's word does. Right. So Peter got a word from God. He got a revelation. And Jesus was so turned on. He said, you know what, Peter? You, flesh and blood didn't give that to you. You got that from God himself. God gave that to you. And you know what? The whole entire church is going to be built on the same thing that happened to you. It's going to be built on revelation. If God doesn't reveal it to you, you can't get it. You might be a good churchgoer. You might be a clean liver. You might have all the kind of things right. But if you don't have a revelation, you don't have nothing. Because if you don't have a revelation, you don't have God. And God is his word. It's all connected. It's all connected. It's not hard to get a hold of God. It's not hard to find God if you find his word. And then once you find the word of God, you got to have somebody that can break it down to you. Amen. You got to have somebody with a revelation in order for you to get it. That's why you can't go to any church. You come here and we're hearing this word and you're just like, oh, I'm loving it. This is easy to understand. This, you don't understand. You're so used to the Holy Ghost walking these aisles. Come on.
You're so used to the Holy Ghost revealing himself to you that you think it's just easy. Like I've heard people say, anybody can pick this up. But what you don't understand, anybody can't pick this up. If you don't have an ear to hear, if you didn't come from God, you can't understand this word. The reason this is easy to you to understand is because you are hearing from God. And it's, you're sitting there thinking, well, this makes sense. I've never heard anything like it, but this, that's what happened when I came. I didn't know nothing about a prophet. I didn't know nothing about a message. But Brother should have started preaching, and what he was saying just made sense to me. It just made sense. Go back to the Garden of Eden, and they told me that Eve ate an apple, and she gave it to Adam. That doesn't make sense. That's man's theology. And when you read Genesis 2 and 3, and you look in there, and you see the lives of Adam and Eve, if you've got man's theology behind your brain, then when you read it, you're going to misread the word. Because while you're reading it, you're going to put a snake in a tree and an apple in its beak, in his mouth. And him handing that apple to Eve. That's all the theology is going to get you. But the real truth of the matter is that that beast was an animal. That he was on two legs. And he was walking in the cool of the day. And he was a good looking beast. Best looking beast out there. And he had an affair with Eve. And Eve found out what sex was about, and she took it back to Adam. And he did the same thing that Eve did with the beast. Now that makes sense. That dovetails with the word of God. Because then every scripture in the word of God makes sense. You can go from Genesis to Revelation with that revelation, and you'll understand the whole story of the Garden of Eden and the fall, and why it had to be Christ, and why he had to come without sin, and why he had to be virgin born. Unless you know the fall in the garden, you don't even know why he had to be virgin born. He had to be virgin born because we all come by sex. We all come by sin. Now that's a revelation. And you sit here and hear this, you think, well, that makes good sense. That's not just a simple thing. That's a revelation. That's God revealing himself to you. And you sitting there saying, that makes sense to me. And everybody else hears and says, I don't believe it. And here you are picking up. See, we don't even understand how revelation works. We think revelation is something you got to learn. We think revelation is something you got to study. We think revelation is something God's got to come with a lightning bolt and come and smack you down. And like he did with Paul on the road to Emmaus. Damascus. We think God's got to do that to us. But God ain't got to do that to you. All God's got to do is take his word and whisper in your ear and let you know what he's really meaning by what he's saying. What did Jesus say? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to take a mind. My what? My word. And show it or reveal it unto you. He's going to give you a revelation. Oh, now I understand that scripture. See, we get so much revelation around here that y'all almost take it for granted. He's going to take of my word and show it unto you. Reveal it unto you. Make it known unto you. Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, he revealed it. He's the only revealer. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can make this Bible make sense. All the years you've gone to church, it never made sense till you got here. And why is it that it makes sense now? Why is it time now? Why do you get an understanding now? It ain't because you ran into a place with a theologian. I'm not a theologian. You ain't ran into somebody who's been to college for Bible study. I've never been to a Bible class study in my life. Somebody, one of my relatives asked me one time, so what theology school did you go to? I said, none. She said, what? How do you do this? It's by the Holy Ghost. It's not me, it's the Holy Ghost. It's taking of mine and showing it unto you. You're sitting there getting a revelation even as I'm speaking right now. You're getting the word revealed to you. Revelation pours in this place. You receive revelation all the time in this place. And we get so much of it, we almost don't, you know how it is when you eat a lot. Sitting there at the table, you ate Thanksgiving meal, and just sitting there because you want more. And you're just waiting for it to go down. That's what you're doing. You're waiting for it to go down so you can get some more. That's what y'all doing. Y'all come in here all fat and sassy, full of revelation. God's been dealing with you all week long, and you come in here just sit down. Ready to get some more. But you are blessed. Amen. That's why Jesus told Peter he was blessed. Blessed art thou, Peter. Amen. God starts revealing himself to you, and you're still looking for something else. You still think you need that. See, let me tell you something. Revelation comes without one sensation. Revelation comes without one sensation, people. If you're waiting for the you know, I've talked to people who had the revelation and didn't have the and they're sitting there waiting, saying, someday I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. Someday I'm going to get God. Someday God's going to deal with me. Someday I'm going to get it. And they're sitting up there getting revelation after revelation after revelation. God's been dealing with them for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they're getting a more and more of understanding of the Word of God. And the whole time they're looking like, I need something else. Looking for something else. See, Satan wants you to look for something else. He don't want you to know what you got. If you're coming to this place and God is dealing with you and you're receiving a clear understanding, then you're getting everything that God has to offer. That's the only thing he promised you. That's all he's promised you, is a clear understanding. You come to church and you get a clear understanding, and you sit here with a clear understanding and wanting to get something else. Do you know when you come here the first time? The first time you come here, the first time you come here, you can get a clear understanding. You say, I don't know it all. I didn't say you know it all. I said you hear the Word of God. God reveals it to you. That's a clear understanding. You sit there. Do you realize a new birth is a clear understanding? And we're sitting here waiting for a new birth, and you already got it. Get an understanding. And all you're getting out of everything you're going to get. How many of us, and I want to ask you to raise your hand. How many of us have come here and gotten a clear understanding and sat here looking for something else? Amen. I'll raise my hand. I'll raise my hand. Because I come from apostolic. We spoke in tongues. We had signs. We had wonders. We had good living. We visited the sick. We did all these things. I had lots of works under my belt when I came here. But then I start hearing the Word of God, and it started making sense to me. In other words, God started dealing with me. He started revealing His Word to me. And I sat here and said, well, this makes more sense than anything I've ever heard. The whole time I'm getting revelation after revelation. And I said, someday I'm going to get born again. Revelation after revelation. Someday God's going to really quicken Himself to me. And He's doing it the whole time. The whole time. You're sitting there with every service getting more and more. You come back. You say, I got to get more. You come back. I got to get more. What keeps bringing you back here? More Word. Every service you get more Word. God deals with you. God speaks to you. Some people come here and they can't stand it. But you come here and you want more. Amen. What's the difference there? Somebody has an ear to hear and somebody doesn't. Somebody has a seed of God in them and somebody doesn't. You know how you can tell a child of God they have a seed of God in them and they believe the Word of God? You say, I believe the Word of God, then you're a child of God. Peter got a revelation. Jesus was happy about it. He said, I'm going to build my whole church. Everybody who ever comes to me, this is exactly how they're going to come. This is exactly what they're going to get. And they're the bride. They're just like eating it up. They love it. They love it. Everybody else like, I don't know. Let me go study. Let me go pray about it. That's funny when somebody comes to approach God and I'll ask God something. God will answer them. Then turn around and say, well, I'll go and pray about it. God already answered you. The only reason you want to go pray about it right. Reason they don't want to, they won't go pray about it because they want to get out from, number one, they want to get away from God. Right. And they won't go think about it. Right. And think if they want to or not. See, when God tells you something, it's not a think about it. Right. It just is. Right. It just is. Amen. God doesn't change his mind. But we don't understand. We don't understand revelation. We've been so traditionalized about serving God. You're sitting here with a clear understanding. Do you know everything? No. I don't know everything. Brother Branham said it's not that you know it all, but that you know the author. Because if you know the author of this book, he can show you any part of this book that he wants to. You don't need to know the whole Bible to go to heaven. All you have to do is be born again. And to be born again is just being born on the Word of God. And that's God quickening his Word to you. That is the new birth. That's being born again. Do you realize that we all come here with the old nature? We all come here born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But the difference between us and the rest of the world is that the children of God are predestinated. And they have a seed of God in them that when they hear the word of God, they turn quickly to it. There's just something about them. So, oh, I got to have more of that. That's the seed of God. They got something to pick it up. There's sounds going through this room right now. If you take your cell phone out, you can dial somebody's number. You can talk to them. But you can't see it. But it's here. It's going through here. When God deals with us, he's dealing with that germ seed that he put in you. You say, well, how do you get a germ seed of God? This ain't in my notes, but I think I want to hit this. How do you get a germ seed of God? You can't. That germ seed doesn't come from you. It's not about your works, not about how good you are, not about what you've offered, not about what you can bring, not about what you can do. It ain't about you at all. Matter of fact, only reason you got a germ seed in you is because God, who declared the end from the beginning, watched you. See, God's not bound by time. So he knows what you're going to do. He knows every turn. He knows every decision. You can't bat an eye fast enough that God didn't already know it. So God knows you better than you know yourself. Because there's a lot of people think they know God and they don't. But God knows them. So God knows you're in. He knows the last breath you're going to take. He knows whether you're going to go by grave or going to get a body change. He knows all. He knows the exact day, hour, minute, and second that it's going to happen. So God already knows what you're going to do when the word crosses your path. He already knows. So God, not being bound by time, goes back before time. He says, Nate's going to do this. He's one of mine. So I'm going to transfer his name and put him on the Lamb's Book of Life because he belongs to me. He's a part of me. And God waited all those years to December 19, 1959. I ain't ashamed of it. I'll tell you the year. He waited till December 19th, about 5:30 in the evening. And that seed germ that was called, going to be called Nate, came into existence. But when I took my first breath of life, because God already knew that I was going to be in the body change, he already knew I was going to receive him. Amen. He already knew I was going to set out to everything else and take him only. He already knew he had transferred my name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation because he already declared from the end from the beginning. Right. So on December 19th, God, when I took my first breath, Not only did I get my old nature, but God put a seed germ of him inside of me because I'm just as eternal as God is. And that eternal germ seed is what keeps me eternal even when I was born in sin. I was a part of God. I was always a part of God. Oh, see, y'all say, use me. Oh, no. I'm using me. Y'all like when I use me on the bad stuff. Well, I'm talking about the good stuff now. Y'all want to be like, oh, use me. Use my, call me. No. Nate was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Come here speaking lies, stealing chips from Melanie. I did all those things. But at the same time, there was a predestinated germ seed of God that was foreknown of God from before the foundation of the world, knowing that someday I was going to come to the Word because the Word is going to quicken that seed. See, this is how the new birth works. So I carried that germ seed all my life. I stole those cookies. I went to Bowser's, Melanie. Stuck chips under my jacket. I did all those things. I kept growing, and I did other things. I ain't telling y'all everything. Then I went to Bethesda. Out of nowhere. I don't even know when it happened. But I was in college. And one day, just like a light, says, I got to find God. Yes. I don't know why. I didn't have that on my mind. I had a career path. I was in college. I said, but something said, I got to find God. So I went to the only place that I knew God was, where I was raised, in my apostolic church. And when I got baptized and I spoke in tongues, I said, it's so weird that I didn't remember this, but I said, when I walked out, there were about 500, 700 people there. And I walked out of those double barn doors, just like metal doors. I walked out the front behind the baptistry because they had a Terry room behind there. And I'd been back there and I spoke in tongues. And I came out and I stood in that doorway. And they still had a prayer line going and a minister was visiting. I think it was Brother Young. Somebody was visiting. And I was standing there and thought, there's got to be more than this. Now, what made me do that? It wasn't even common sense. I just spoke in tongues. I did everything that they thought I was supposed to do, but I was still hungry. I wasn't satisfied. I was still thirsting. And I still needed something, and I knew it. And you knew it when you were in your denomination. When you were going to the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Methodist, the Catholic. You know there's got to be something better than this. But then when you ran across the Word, when I ran across the Word, it stopped me dead in my tracks. I said, I never heard anything like this before in my life. Brother Childress preached, the more he preached, the more I wanted. The more he preached, the more I realized, this is what I've been craving. You didn't even, you know, when you come to this church, you don't even know why you're here. You really don't. You're being led by God. You got a predestinated seed in you, and that seed is being pulled to the Word, and you don't even know why you're here. You come, and you think you're going to be in a good place and good people and on and on and on, but when you get here, you realize, wait a minute. I've been tricked into this. The Word of God is actually here, and I'm hearing something that I can't get anywhere else, so that brings me back here. You say, we don't have the choirs, we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have the big orchestras, we don't have that, and we don't have that, but I have the Word of God. When I first come, we were down over the hill, and Brother Childers had Brother Bill up there, and he had his guitar, and they were country twang singing, and I was like, I did not like country music. But you know what? In order to get to God, I had to go by way of country music. And the whole church clapped like this on every song. But I thought, I love what he's saying, though. So I looked at Nadine and Clarice, and Clarice and Nadine looked at me, and we said, oh, well. So you'll do whatever you have to do to get the Word of God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care whether it's country, Western, African, Kentucky. I don't care what it is. You're going to do whatever it takes to get to the Word of God. I can endure the singing to get to the Word. I can endure the testimonies to get to the Word. When it's all said and done, I'm here for the preaching of the Word. When you're serious about the Word of God, you don't care about nobody else. Don't care about how they look. Don't care about how they dress. Don't care about how they sing. Don't care about none of that. You're just in here for the Word. The rest of it's just extras. If we get a song, fine. I can come here at 10 o'clock and start preaching. Y'all be just as tickled. Because y'all crazy. But a revelation. We overlook what a revelation is. We make it all kind of things, what we got to get from God. But it's just an understanding. It's just God taking his mind and his word and is showing it unto you, letting you know who you are. And you keep coming back because you know it's you. You keep coming back because you said, well, I never heard that before. You come back and said, tell me a little bit more of that. Give me a little bit more of that. I'll take a little more of that predestination. Talk a little bit more of the Garden of Eden. Talk to me about that old nature some more. Tell me about that being born again. Talk about that seed of God. You're not getting this out there. You don't get this out there. They won't tell you this out there because they don't know it. But when you come here, you're receiving revelation after revelation, time after time, service after service, and you're getting stronger, and you're getting stronger every time you come. You come in, first of all, you come sheepishly in, visiting. I got tickled at Tommy. Tommy come the first time by himself. He's checking it out, looking around. Next thing you know, he said, I'm coming back Sunday, and I'm bringing my family. I said, good for you, Tommy. So next Sunday, he come and he brought his whole family. So, woo, he does have a big family. And then I got tickled because about the next service, here he comes up here. That's where you do it, Tommy. Don't take the back seat. Nudge yourself in there. You know how those little puppies do it. Get in there. But that's the way it works. You get a hunger for the Word. You get a hunger for the Word, and the Word starts working on you. Next thing you know, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about scriptures. You're reading the Bible. You're reading scriptures, and you come and get an understanding. And God comes and talks to you without even knowing what he's talking about. And here you are getting more and more of understanding, and you're getting strong. You know what? We're not weak Christians. I know weak Christians in this church. I rebuke you if you were weak. You get up here talking all whining around. It's so hard to serve God. I'll tell you like Brother Lockett would tell you. You must be born again. You need a new birth. When you get a new birth, that takes the work out of it. That's the end to the struggling nature.
Amen.
So when you come, you're getting revelation. And don't sit back in the... Now, Tommy's only been here 2-3 weeks. All right. I'm using you as an example, because I use everybody, so it's your turn. So I guarantee you, he's learned more in the last 2 or 3 weeks than he's known in his whole life. Now, who's doing that to him? That ain't me. God's talking to him. God's dealing with him. God's revealing himself to him. Flesh and blood didn't do this to you, Peter. That's the way revelation works. And I use it because he's new, and I want you to understand. Some of y'all have been sitting here for years like, ooh, I'll be glad when I get the Holy Ghost. The whole time you're picking up revelation. The whole time God's dealing with you. He's showing you. You pick up something every service. That's called revelation. That's called the new birth. That's God dealing with you. Don't sit there and act like he's not doing nothing for you and you're waiting on something. He's giving you the greatest thing he can give you, an understanding of his word. No greater thing can God give you than his word. Oh, we can bring you up here and pray all night. And oh, we can do a fast in the whole church. And we can do a whole lot of things and do a lot of things. But none of that's going to do for you like the revelation of the Word of God. You might not do those other things, but you got a revelation. Amen. That's what I always say. When everybody's telling me how good they are and how bad I am, and they got this and they got that, I say, yeah, you might have all that, but I got a revelation.
God said, I can go. God said, I'm a part of this thing. The Bible said, Brother Brown said here, that Peter was an ignorant and unlearned man. He couldn't even sign his own name. But it pleased God to give him the keys to the kingdom because he'd seen the Messiah and knowed his evidence and fell at his feet and recognized him as the Messiah. He believed the word. And thou art Peter, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Not upon Peter. Not even upon Jesus. But upon his spiritual revelation of who he was. Spiritual revelation of who Jesus is. You got to have that. You have to have that. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. You have to have a personal revelation of who Jesus is. Nobody can give that to you. Nobody can explain it to you. That's the third pull. It won't be a public show. It won't be something somebody can share. I can't give you a birth. Same thing he did Abel. Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Both boys offered. Both boys prayed. Both boys built an altar. Both boys worshiped the same God, see? One was accepted. The other one turned down. Because by revelation, Abel saw it wasn't fruit or apples that brought us out of the Garden of Eden. It was blood. And he offered blood and God received it. See, I don't care how much you read this Bible. If you don't have an understanding of the word of God, you can't get received by God. He said, well, I believe it was an apple. That's not the word of God. And God is not, God's not obligated to quicken anything to you but his word. I can come in here and talk to you about Trinitarian God. And God will sit silent. He'll sit silent. I can come and talk to you about a false water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. She said, well, I've been baptized that way. That's a false water baptism. Because the word of God says be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody in that Bible ever was baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know when that came into play? 325 AD, when the Roman Catholic Church started putting everything together, trying to get everybody to compromise and come together. Look it up. You don't even need the revelation for that. Listen to how this works. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, saying, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things. See, everybody can't see it. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. You can't just figure out who Jesus is. No man know who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he whom the Son will.
Amen.
There it is.
Yeah.
I told you it's by revelation.
Yes, sir.
You can't even worship God unless you got a revelation of who he is.
Amen.
There's so many people going to church that don't know who God is.
No.
So many people trying to worship God and don't know who he is.
Yeah.
They don't have a revelation one.
No.
You can't have a revelation unless you have the word of God.
Come on.
Oh, they're good churches. Churches have good people in them. They mean well. They want to do the right thing. They want to serve God. They just don't have the word being revealed to them in these places. That's why I'm so steadfast on keeping the revelation in this place that God revealed to Brother Childers in 73. We will never live that. Because that revelation lasted 60 years. And still going. I still open the Bible and find things I've never seen. I still read over things that I've read 100 times and I realize finally get an understanding of it. That's why even I read that flesh and blood didn't reveal it. I said, Jesus didn't even do that. I just picked that up today. You don't even know who God is.
until he shows you. You say, I know God. No, you don't. You got a revelation? Well, no, but I read the whole Bible. That don't mean a thing. They read them in every theological seminary there is. They read them in... I marvel at how smart men are. Educated. Doctors of divinities. Been to school longer than I've lived. And don't know how many gods there are. Smart men. Educated men. It isn't because of your smartness and your schooling. It isn't because you've been to the Baptist seminary. It isn't because you've been a Catholic. It isn't because you've been somewhere and somebody told you something. You need to be where the word is. And when the word is spoken, you got to actually have somebody who has a revelation to get it. You can't get this just because you're around it. You got to go to a church. Brother Brown said, go to a church, find you a man, bring it in word upon word. Then you found more than a man. You found God. Because it's not the man. It's not me. I don't take credit for this. I am so far out of the way. And God's in here doing what he does best. It's all done by revelation. You can't even get this unless God reveals it to you. You can't even say God is Jesus is the Christ unless it's revealed unto you. You say, well, I believe in the Virgin Mary. I believe in the Holy City. I believe that Jesus was born in a manger. That's okay, but you don't know God. No. You don't know who Jesus is, because you know what? If you really knew who Jesus was, you'd give your life to him. Amen. Did you hear that? Yeah. The first sign that you know who Jesus is you surrender. When you know you're whipped. Why fight when you know you're going to get beat? you go in there as a big old bully, big old strong arm, and you know you ain't got, you don't have as many muscles in your whole body as he's got in his one arm. Why are you going to fight? Just give, you know what, you win. That's the way it is with God. When you really realize who God is, that's by revelation. Only way you can really surrender is by revelation. You can't just decide. That's why we don't come and say, come and give your heart to God. You can't give your heart to God. He already has it. It's his. We don't put a chair out here and say, come and join a church. You can't join this. You must be born again. And when you're born again, you're born by the revelation of the word of God. Not in that alone. You say, well, I don't feel like, don't worry about your feeling. Right. Well, I haven't dropped this. I haven't cleaned this up. Don't worry about it. I watch y'all all the time. I laugh at you because I watch y'all cleaning your life up, and I ain't saying nothing. I mean, I'd say some things because I don't want you to know what I believe and where I stand. But then from there, it's between you and God. Right. And I watch you start changing because you start changing. That's you and God. That's your personal relationship. That ain't me dictating anything. I just laugh because I see the changes and I say, well, thank you, Lord. You're dealing with them. Thank you, Lord. You've moved in that house. Thank you, Lord. You're working on them. Thank you, Lord. You're revealing yourself to them. Thank you, Lord. They're laying down ideas and I'm laying down ideas and we're all moving and we're changing and we're all looking for one thing. That's the body change. Listen to what Brother Branham said here. And who is this Melchizedek? The whole Bible is the revelation of God. The whole Bible. The whole Bible. Not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The entire Bible is the revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There is no other way to know God, only by revelation. You try to bring me your good works? That's nothing. You try to tell me what you cleaned up? That's nothing. You tell me what you laid down? Anything you can lay down, you can pick up. That's right. I ain't impressed by that. People try to impress each other. See, that's what they come to church trying to impress each other. They practice their testimony at home. I praise the Lord who's ahead of my life. And I'll say, follow that with number. They practice at home. They get all that down pat. And then they get that to the church. And they bring it in here. And they get behind the microphone. I thank the Lord who's the head of my life. Who blessed me with a new car. Who's given me a good job. Who's seen me through these things. You're like, okay. That ain't it.
That ain't it. It's by revelation. You don't need a revelation to buy a new car. You just need money, Brother Lockett. The whole Bible is a revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There is no other way to know God, only by revelation. To whom the Son will reveal him. Revelation. Everything is revelation. And that everything is revelation, and we don't even hardly get at a moment's notice. We look at everything else. When y'all come to this church, I look to see how much revelation you're getting. Everybody else looking at, what's your life doing? What's doing? What's he doing? What did you do last week? What are you doing yesterday? How you dressed? What are you doing? Who you hanging with? Whatever. They're looking at all this other stuff. I'm looking to see what you're doing with the Word of God. When the Word of God comes forth, I'm looking to see if your head's going like this or like this. Because it's going to do one or the other. And you may not even let me see it, but it's doing it. I might not see it, but God sees it. And God's in this place. So if God wants me to, and sometimes he does, he lets me see your head going like this. And it's not even moving. You say, what? Oh, well, don't worry about it. Let's just move on. And Brother Brown divined, right? He said, now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means the unveiling. That's what revelation is unveiling. Now, he was referring and talking, and when he was talking about it, he was talking about the book of Revelation, sort of going into that. But revelation is the unveiling. All revelation is the unveiling. So when you come to the house of God, the revelation's unveiling the word to you, and you're picking it up while you're sitting in your seat. It's so easy. You don't have to vote on nothing. You don't have to raise your hand and tell me I could. And you don't have to tell me believe it. You just sit there eating. That's all y'all do. Just eat. That's all y'all do. Y'all are awful. Just eating the whole time you're here. But that's what it is. It's the unveiling of the Word of God. We come with the Bible, but we don't know what the Bible means until God unveils it to you. And that's what revelation is. And that is what God said he's going to build the whole church on, because that's the only thing that holds up. You'll sing until you have surgery. Then you can't sing. You'll shout and dance until you get overweight. Then you can't do it no more. You'll do all kinds of things for a while. But the one thing that never changes, and I watch this in our elders, when they get to the last days of their lives, they might lose their limbs. I remember Brother Isaac. He was in the hospital. And I was there the night he passed. And Chris will tell you if I'm making this up. We were sitting in there, and he was right at the going away. And lost limbs. And they brought him in a wheelchair, and he was sick and had problems, and on and on and on and on and on. Laying there right at the gate. He's laying there, and I heard him say, "Come on." And Sister Amy and them were looking at me. They're like, "What's he doing?" I said, he knows what he's doing. He's not out of his head. He said, "Come on." He said about three times, he said, "Come on." And he laid there, and we were sitting over there talking. I was explaining to them what was going on, and while I'm talking to them, he just slipped on out into glory. No fuss, no mess. Matter of fact, the nurse came in and said, "He's gone." We were sitting over there talking, and he just slipped out so quietly. But what it showed me is that when everything else fails you, this revelation that you're getting... Sister Alice was in a nursing home and couldn't even talk hardly. Didn't know who she was. Couldn't hardly get nothing to work on her body. Stuck in the bed. But all we had to do is go in there and start singing. Brother Childers starts singing to her. And she starts singing with him. It's in there. The house gives up, but oh, what's in here? He's in here. That revelation that God's given you, It'll never leave you nor forsake you. When your body wears out, it'll never leave you or forsake you. When you get tired, when you get unemployed, when things come your way, it'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll go with you.
Amen.
Even in you. All the way to the end. And that's not a lie. I've seen it myself. Amen. I've seen it in Brother Childers. I've seen it in Sister Allen. I've seen it in Sister Spears, Brother Bob, different ones, name it. The saints of God that had the revelation inside of them, it's stronger than anything they have in their lives.
Amen.
When you come to the end of your road and your body don't even work, your revelation's still kicking. Still kicking. Still, I think that's amazing to me. That's the proof, if nothing else was the proof, that there is a God. Because when everything else goes away, that revelation is strong as ever.
Amen.
It's its own life.
Amen.
Paul said, won't read it, running out of time, trying to keep moving. Galatians chapter 1. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can say that today myself. You can say that today yourself. It's by revelation that you are receiving this message. We don't hardly even, I tell you, we take it for granted. We think we just come to church, hear the word, and yeah, I agree with it, it's good. Yeah. But it's more than that. It's God dealing with you. God breaking his word down to you. God making himself known to you. And it doesn't come by man. When Paul started preaching, I think I read a few weeks ago where Paul didn't even meet Peter for 2 years. But yet he was preaching the same thing. Not taught by man. He was right. He's taught by the Holy Ghost. You aren't taught by men. I ain't teaching you. You say, yes, you are. No, I'm not. If you're receiving anything today, is because you recognize that God is in this place and he is speaking his word to you and you're receiving it. You're just saying, Lord, that's true. That ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. What have I said today that you don't agree with? Nothing.
Amen.
You're sitting there saying the whole time, there's nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. That's revelation. And you'll walk out of here more full of revelation than when you got here. That's why y'all so strong. That's why y'all so determined. That's why the Sun Leaders got problems. Because y'all are like, ah, let me tell what he's done for me. No, let me tell what he's done for me. I got to go. No, I'm going. People look at us over the internet, they probably think, what kind of mixed up, messed up? It's like the upper room. Everybody in the upper room was blessed. Everybody in the upper room was filled. And everybody in the upper room was trying to get their 10 cents in. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith, which is a revelation. You get that? Faith is a revelation. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You cannot get faith unless you hear the word of God. I'm not talking about faith to start your car. I'm not talking about faith to believe that you're going to make it to work. I'm talking about revelation faith. You can't get this word revealed to you unless it's preached and every line crossed, every T crossed, every line dotted, everything, every word in its place. You can't get this out there. You cannot get this. That's why y'all keep coming. Oh, there's a whole lot better place to go to here. A whole lot better. But ain't no better cook than what's being cooked right here. Ain't no better food. I've had a lot of people's food. And I've seen a lot of people trying to cook. Some people can't cook, Jeremiah. You listen to them on the TV and on the radio. They're mixing this and mixing that and putting this with putting that. And it tastes awful. It's like, oh my goodness. You're feeding that to the people? I want to go somewhere where I can smell the food cooking when I get to the parking lot. You know, have you ever been to a good restaurant? They don't care that the smells go out.
You get in a parking lot. When you come in this parking lot, I want just the atmosphere. God, so strong that you're doing the best you can to walk nice to get to the house. You really feel like running.
Right.
You look a little silly running to a restaurant door. And then you get in here and you can smell the atmosphere. You can feel God moving in this place. And then as the song starts and the testimony starts and the presence of God gets so real even before 10 o'clock, before the services. And then you're all worked up. And then when the song leader stands up, he gets run over. Well, that's the way it should be. That means you got something. You're turned on. You're thrilled. God's doing something for you. You're not sitting here waiting for somebody to spoon feed you. You got your own fork. You got your own knife. You're ready because you know what's coming. You got to have the Word of God. And you got to have somebody that can preach the Word of God. You can't just go anywhere. That's why you got to come where the food is. If I want McDonald's, I go to McDonald's. But if I want a real good steak, where you go, Jeremiah, for a good steak? Tell me. Come on. I know you know.
Go to Longhorn.
Longhorn. Oh, come on. Nah. You're selling me short. You're selling me short, Jeremiah. St. Elmo's. St. Elmo's. I knew he had it. See, sometimes you can get such good food, you don't want nobody to know where you go. All right. But when it's good food, you want to be able to go somewhere and get something that's good, that tastes good, that's real. I don't know about McDonald's. I don't know how real everything is there. Every cut of meat is just the same. And it's manufactured. But if you get a good steak, Jay, it's got this cut, and the next plate, you look over to somebody else's plate, it ain't going to be shaped just like yours. Every steak is an individual. But you got to have somebody that can bring you the Word of God. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I'm determined not to know anything amongst you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom." We're not trying to tickle your ears. Sometimes I make you mad. Sometimes I tell you off. Sometimes I tell you need to step it up. Sometimes I need to tell you to slow down. Sometimes I tell you to get up. Sometimes I tell you to sit down. But this is a house of correction.
That's right.
If you come here to have your ears tickled, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place.
Amen.
And my speech wasn't the preaching, and preaching was not of enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith, your revelation comes from God. You're sitting here picking this up as I'm preaching, y'all are just picking up. Say, how are you doing this? I'm not doing it. I have a gift.
Right.
My gift is to be a pastor, a minister.
Right.
That's a gift of God to the body.
Right.
But the real gift is a gift to get out of the way.
Right.
Some people can't get out of the way.
Right.
I've learned over the years, you know, Brother Brown's like swimming. He said, it's like swimming. When you first start out, you fight the water and you can't do it. But after a while, when he deals with you enough and you see enough of God, and God's dealt with you and he's talked to you, and you know his voice. You know, Brother Branham would say, I know that voice. I've heard that voice many times. When you know that voice and you know it's leading, and then you finally just start leaning back and not fighting the water, but let it help you. And when the Spirit starts moving, I just get out of the way and let him do what he wants. I got what I have up there, but I don't care what's up there. I want what he wants for you. And what he wants for you is going to come from him, not from me. I don't know what you need, but he does. But that Spirit moves through here. And it deals with us, and it walks and talks with us, and it does what he wants with us. We're not doing this with enticing words. I'm not trying to trick you into this. If it's something that you can pick up and you can agree with, then it's yours. That's how simple that is. That's how simple.
If you can agree with the Word of God, then you're born again. Amen. You say, is it that simple? Just that simple. You say, well, what if I don't believe all of it? Then you're not born again. Because he's going to give you every word. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can't turn any part of this down. You can't. You can't say, I don't like this part. You got to eat it all. That's what happened to Isaiah in the book of Revelation. Have to take the book and eat it. And the thing I love about Revelation 10, 8 through 11, is it's up to you. You got to do it. Revelation 10, verse 8 says, take the book and eat it. And then he turned and said, so I took the book. Give me that book. I want it. You got to want this as bad as I want to give it. If you don't want this, it ain't for you. And if it is for you, you can't live without it. It's a horrible state to be in. Okay. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we, Paul said, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than what we preached unto you, let him be accursed. God's going to give you a revelation, and then he's going to build on that, build on that, build on that, build on that. Build on that. That's all he does. He doesn't give you a revelation and say, oh, no, I made a mistake. Oh, no, I don't mean that. I know. No, that ain't God. That's why you can find a man of God who's preaching the Word of God, because he's going to be right in the Word of God. And he's not going to be hitting and missing. He's not going to be in and out. If he's in and out, that means he's putting his ideals in there and going back into the Word and mixing it. And you don't want that. Amen. Brother Branham said, it was the apostles who brought the original Word to the people. The original Word could not be changed, not even a dot or a dash of it. Paul knew it was God who had spoken to him. So he said, even if I come and try to give a second revelation, try to make one little change that I gave originally, let me be accursed. You see, Paul knew the first revelation was correct. God can't give a first revelation, then a second revelation. If he did, he would be changing his mind. He can give a revelation, then add to it. And as he did in the Garden of Eden, when he promised the seed of the woman, and then later designated the seed had to come through Abraham, and then later it would come by the same bloodline in David, but it was the same revelation. It only gave the people more information to help them receive the understand it. But God's word cannot change. The seed came exactly as revealed. And that's the way it is with any revelation we get. God's not going to give you revelation and all of a sudden start over. It's not like building blocks, you start and play and drop them and start over. No, God's going to build on that foundation. He's going to take the first revelation he ever gave you, and the first revelation could be as simple as, I believe this is right. That's how simple a new birth can be. You say, well, don't you have to, nope. Well, don't you, nope. Don't, nope. It's that simple. And then what you do at that point, you drive your stake. You say, you know what? I believe it's the truth. I'm driving my stake. That was a revelation from God, so I'm born again. Whether you feel it or not. That's how simple it is. We've made it so hard for people. But it's just that simple. This is that. That was prophesied. Okay, I've got to wrap this up. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It was the Word of God that was made flesh. If it was made flesh then, and it was the Word of God, what is it now? It's still the Word of God, but now this Word of God and the bride. It's still him, but it's he in his bride form, the bride coming of Christ. That's who he is. So, I'm jumping on down because I'm closing here. Romans chapter 10. It's got to be preached by revelation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's easy to say. But remember, you can't call him unless you know him. And you can't know him unless the Father reveals him to you. So they think everybody calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. That's not exactly true. That's not exactly balanced. Because there's a lot of people that call upon the name of the Lord that's not going to be saved. But the bride will call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. Listen, now they say you got to call on the name of the Lord. Now he's going to go into how you can get to that point where you can call on the name of the Lord. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? So if you don't believe, you can't call on the name. I don't care how much you say Jesus. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they not heard? And he's not talking about having heard of Jesus. He's talking about really hearing him. Hearing the word. And whom not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So there's some criteria to meet before you can do verse 13. Remember it said in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Easily said, done. That's easy. But when you do 14, that sort of siphons out everything that's not what's supposed to be there. And how shall they preach? Oh, wait a minute, it's not every preacher then. So that knocks out, go to the church of your choice. I'm talking about receiving a revelation from God. How do I receive a revelation from God? This is how it's done. Amen. How shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, everybody understand? No. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed the report? You can't even believe the report unless you hear the preacher, and the preacher can't preach unless he's sent from God. That's right. And if you get all that in order, then you can, whosoever will. People get it mixed up. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So then, listen. Faith, revelation, cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You got to hear the preacher with the word of God in order to get the faith that you need or revelation. That's the way that works. I'm sorry. No other way. That's how you receive a revelation from God. Amen. Now listen to what Brother Branham said. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It may be that millions will hear these words or read them, but how many will pay heed to them? That we do not know. But he who will lend his ear and want to know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. If your ear is open to the word, the Spirit of God will make that word real to you. Did you hear that? If your ear is open, the Spirit will make it real to you. That's all. Now that is the work of the Spirit. I can teach you truth, but if you don't open your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it, you won't get the revelation. I can preach up here. I can preach all the revelation I want, and I can bring you everything that God's given me to give you, but if you don't open your ear to hear, you can never receive that revelation. How do you receive a revelation from God? Open your ear. Listen to what he's saying. Like Jeremiah said, when I was a kid, I wasn't paying no attention. But one day I sat down and thought, well, since I'm here, I might as well listen, see what they're talking about. He started listening and looking in the day. He's still listening. That's the way it works. You young people, don't think you got to be old to serve God. Serve him in your youth, as Jay was saying. Listen. Open your ears. Listen. Because as you start listening, God will start talking. And if God starts talking to you, I don't care if you're 10, I don't care if you're 80. If you start listening, God will talk to you, and he will become one with you and real to you, and then you will know a peace that you don't even know exists. You'll have a rest when the world's on fire. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer my life. When the word moves in here, it's no longer me. It's not me and God. It ain't me and I'm going to have part and God's going to have. You know how some marriages, they say, we're 50-50. It is never 50-50. But God's not 50-50 with us. It's 100%. He's either all or none. He's either going to be all of you or none of you. He's not going to take Sundays and Wednesdays and leave you the rest of the week. He's going to take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, holidays, Christmases, yeah, right. Thanksgiving, Easter. He's going to take everything. He ain't going to leave you nothing. Amen. He wants to take your entire life. Yes, and then he wants you to build. See, when it's him, he will build your life around his word. That's right. Amen. That's what causes you to move from D.C. Mail. That's what caused me to move from Dayton. That's what caused us to hang around big old Fairborn, big exciting Fairborn. That's why we're here. Because we love the Word of God. And the Word of God is being preached here. And everybody that's associated with me will have to understand that I'm sorry, the Word of God is first place in my life. You are at least second. At least. But they need to know that. Because if you don't make that clear, they're going to try to be first place. Seek ye first. One last quote, and I'm actually closing. The new birth is Christ. Is a revelation. Oh. The new birth is a revelation. I told y'all. Just simply identifying with the word, agreeing with the words. That's how easy the new birth is. Some of y'all could have got a new birth today. And nobody knows it but you. Ask yourself, did I agree with the word? Did God reveal himself to me? Did he make himself known? Is it clear to me what the pastor's saying? Is he really, I understand what he's saying. That's the new birth. Say, I don't feel no different. Don't have to. It's clear understanding. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making his word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position. Church, if you only knew your position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go. When it knows what it is. We know what it is. We're waiting on the bus now. Yeah. Amen. We already got our token. We know what it is. We know where we're going. When we see it coming down the street and it has our destination across the front of the bus, like, oh yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Glory. Glory bound. That's us. We know what it is. We know how simple a revelation is now. We're not fighting this. We're not struggling. It doesn't take you 3-4 years. You can get in the first service just like that. Just get in his presence just like that. You say, well, don't I need to repeat something? You know, they say, come up and repeat after me and give the Apostles' Creed or some creed. No. Just receive the word. That's all Jesus asks you to do is receive his word. He went to the apostles and he breathed them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's how easy it was. Amen. And then you know what? They walked right into it. Yeah. They didn't have to practice. They didn't have to do it. He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And then they went to the upper room. And every last one of them, bar none, got it. Yeah. There's no reason there's anybody in this church
that can't have it today. It's too easy. If you woke up without him today, it's on you. It's not on him. Because he's told you how simple it is. Don't take long. It just takes a moment for you to agree with the word. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Receiving a revelation from God is easy. It is so easy. It is so easy. It's easier than falling off a log. It's easy. Just open up your heart and just say, Lord, here I am. I believe your word. I hear the preacher. He's telling me nothing but the truth. I receive that. And by receiving that word, I'm receiving you. And you will take my life and make it what you want it to be. That's how easy it is. It's not hard. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's not hard to let God have your life. The only time it's hard is when you want to hold on to yourself. But let him have it. And he can make you into whatever it is that he already has seen you do from before the foundation of the world. Oh, you're going to do it because he's already declared it. Just quit fighting. Let him have it. And he can give you everything that you have need of. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so grateful for the revelation of your word and how you so deal with us. How you've made yourself known to us in so simple of a way. It's almost too simple that it's so simple that people step over top of it. They miss it. They don't understand it. They try to figure it out. And it's merely surrendering to your word. Father, as we come this morning, we saw how blessed you were to have Peter receive that revelation. And that it come from God. And all revelation comes from God. And Lord, as we come to this part of the service, we are so grateful that you can give us the word and we can receive the word and take it in and let it become one with us. Help this congregation, Lord, as we're waiting on the rapture. Just, Lord, let us surrender ourselves to you so that you can make of us what you want in our lives. I don't know what you want of us. We all have different paths to take. But, Lord, the one thing in common that we have is that we love your word and Satan can't touch us. If he touches the house, he can never touch the soul. Same rules that applied to Job. Job applies to us. Oh, he might touch our house. He might hurt the flesh. But he cannot destroy the revelation that's living inside of us. Thank you for this truth, Lord. Thank you for this congregation. Ask you to help us to grow more as we push forward towards that mark of the high calling. You've called us, Lord. Now let us fulfill that you called us to do. Thank you for everything. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. It's not that hard to be born again. It's not that hard to hear from God. It's not an age requirement. It's not for men only. It's for whosoever will. Let him come. And if you want to come, he'll be glad to receive you unto himself. Don't forget tonight, we'll have Bible study at 7 p.m. And come expecting, bring your questions or whatever you have in mind. And let's see what God will do this evening. It amazes me how that God can really deal with us and answer our questions, and because he's here. He's here. We don't walk away confused. We walk away with an understanding. So come back tonight at 7 and keep Kevin and Sway in your prayers. They're away. They'll be away for, I think, about a week. So keep them in your prayers. And come back and look to see what God can do for you. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. God bless you.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater.